they claim in our eyes we're just speaking it is a slight different from what they are. We talk, we see things that are out of our mind.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Allison.
Yes.
You're late!
I am late. Well, you're late, actually.
Yeah, that's put in there just in case we're late. Not many people have figured out where that comes from. I'm not going to say where it came from. People can figure it out or not. I've told a few people. It's someone saying you're late. Some people are like, what is that? What is that sound?
You're late!
But we may or may not be late. I don't know. I'm still working on the podcast as we're recording this. I'm still editing, so it might be on time.
You're the kid who says to the teacher, can I please have like just a half day more, please?
It's Schrodinger's podcast right now.
Yeah.
Will it be on time or will it not? I don't know. It's going to be a long night for me either way. On tonight's show, I'm going to be talking to Allie. Not you, Allie.
I know not many people call me Allie.
I know. It's very rare. But another Allie. And she has this group of encounters that occur on her property. And these are probably my favorite things to look into in the paranormal. If you hear noise in the background, it's the bunny, by the way. She's decided now is the time to rearrange her house.
Sometimes you get a second wind.
These paranormal properties, as I call them, they're so fascinating to me because, you know, it tends to start with one thing, like a ghost or a haunting or a Bigfoot. Like, it'll start with one thing. And then all of a sudden, people start seeing other things. And other things are happening around these properties. I just find it so fascinating because people are living with this stuff and they're seeing these
weird, like living in a graveyard.
Yeah, they're seeing these weird lights and these weird things and having all this weird stuff happen all the time.
And they don't really usually disclose that when you buy properties.
No, I think they're supposed to. Remember, we had that real estate guy on a bunch of episodes back. But yeah. He was saying that's like you're technically supposed to disclose that now.
And who would do that?
I don't know. You know, sometimes it's a buying point. There was a property, somebody had sent me a listing for a property that was like, we have Bigfoot on this property. They were using it as the selling point for like, if you're into Bigfoot, you want to be here kind of thing.
Wow, that's an unusual tag.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's a niche market.
But Allie's got stories of these things that she calls crawlers, which sound like that might be the new name for them. I think people were calling them rakes a few years back. She had a ghost in plaid, didn't know about flannel man, just started describing this ghost, says he wears a plaid flannel shirt. They assumed it was the great-grandfather of her husband or something like that because their family has had the property for a long time. Maybe it is, but it's pretty interesting he's wearing a flannel shirt.
Is it possible that some ghosts just become flannel men? Like,
sure.
Could take a job. Like, I mean, it really seems shitty if you have to take a job after you die. Like, I don't right. like that idea, but...
Who knows?
Like an eternal job.
But it's certainly interesting. The ghost she describes, and they've seen several times, it's wearing a flannel shirt. She's got mystery lights, voices that mimic hers and other people's voices. Tree structures. She tells this goblin story and more. It's really interesting stuff. So we'll get to that in a second. I do want to put this out there that, as I said, I love these stories of paranormal properties. So if you live at a place like this, if you're living in a place where these weird things are happening, please get in contact with me, strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to talk to you. If you're amenable to it and we're able to do it, we'll come to your property. And we just went to Indiana for the same reason. We love doing it. We love investigating this stuff. We love documenting it when we can.
What if you just have a hole in your backyard where you put stuff? Will you come and visit that?
I kind of live. I live in such a situation. Digging holes, you know, it can lead to paranormal stuff.
That's true. So far, it's just left. It has not led to that for me.
Well, you didn't dig the hole. It was a pre-existing hole, which you have decided to fill.
It was a familial hole.
Random chunk. We do have some openings for other guests as well right now. Again, looking for encounters with creatures. We're looking for ghosts. We're looking for UFO, especially abduction stories I'm very interested in.
There is a hierarchy of things in your...
I like...
Only because there's certain things I think that are it's more of a rarity issue, right? Like there's some things that you hear more often than others.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think many, many people have seen weird lights. And I love those stories, but it's nice if you have something else to accompany that. Like if you see weird lights plus, you know, later on you
a twofer of some
you
sort.
Saw a creature or you saw a UFO and then later on, you know, you think you had this experience with grays or something. It just makes for better podcast content. I'm interested in it all. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'll talk to anybody about any of this stuff. But, you know, I do have to think about the narrative kind of for the podcast. So if you have a story and you'd like to share it with us, again, it's strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com. Email us. I know there's a ton of people that have emailed me before that I've replied to, some that I maybe haven't replied to, and you've sent your stories in. I haven't forgotten you. I'm horrible at email, and there's a lot of it to keep up with. So just send me an email reminder. Say, hey, I thought we were going to talk or something like that. I never mind reminders. I love reminders. And I'll try to get you on the schedule. I'm sorry about my bad email.
Who loves email, though? Like, who loves to get up in the morning and look and see, like, 60 things they need to deal with beyond all the regular things? Like, I don't think anybody faults anybody for that, right?
I kind of like email. I don't like my inability to keep up with email. And then I feel bad, and then it becomes this whole cycle. But I don't mind. I don't mind it. In any case, strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com. Before we get to Allie's story, I want to thank our patrons. Thank you so much, patrons. Thank you for all you do. We could not do Strange Familiars without your help. If you like what we do and you'd like to get extra content besides, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All of our patrons get commercial-free versions of the weekly episodes, plus full extra episodes every month. We do at least one. Sometimes we do more than that. Again, it's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There's also a program on Apple Podcasts. It's called Patron of the Strange. Apple Podcast subscribers can get the weekly commercial-free shows as well as the extra episodes every month. So thank you wherever you're supporting us. All right, let's go ahead and hear my talk with Allie. I'd like to welcome Allie to Strange Familiars. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Awesome.
So you contacted me after hearing the Witch Digger show, In the Shadow of the Witch Diggers. You said you had some similar things going on around your property. What's going on?
Well, I've lived on this property for about 3 years now, and my husband's family owns it. So he's got, you know, relatives that owned it for probably back 3 generations, I would say. So there's always been his family living on this land. And you know, they told me these things that were happening or had happened, you know, to family members about just bizarre, almost supernatural things. And I was like, okay, so I get there and all these bizarre lights start showing up and like sounds in the woods and just really weird things that you see at night. Like, I think it's called the crawler. It's the one that's kind of humanoid and it's white. And it's got a, yeah, I think that's what everyone calls it. But my husband and a friend of ours have seen that. And I've seen two of them from a distance when I was leaving out of what they call around here a holler. Mm-hmm. I was leaving out, it was about 11:30 at night. And at first I thought that they were albino deer. And when I got closer, I noticed that they weren't deer at all. They were, it was two crawlers running back towards the tree line. And just weird things like that. I see weird tracks, like Bigfoot tracks. And I don't know if that's what it is, but that's what I'm going to call it because it's not bear. It's not like a big cat. It's not a person because, like I said, his family owns it. And, like, nobody's really goes in the woods except for me and my husband. So we're the only people that travel around out there, you know? And just weird sounds, knocking, the lights, just all kinds of strange things have happened.
So as comfortable as you are, and obviously, you know, you don't want to give away exactly where you live, but generally, where is this?
Yeah, it's in East Tennessee, like on the Virginia and Tennessee border.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right in the Appalachian Mountains, like in the southern part, where there's a lot of like old weird superstitious lore around here anyway, you know?
Sure.
And yeah. I live at the foot of what they call Bays Mountain. And that's actually like a nature reserve now, but that's where I live. And I'm not really ever been very superstitious, but I've always had, I guess, encounters with things that can't be explained really by science or anything else. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I've been sensitive to things, and being out here on my husband's property, it's, I guess maybe things recognize that. So it's kind of more prevalent now that I'm there. That's what everybody says. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I see spirits down there. And the one that I see the most, supposedly, is my mother-in-law's great-grandpa, the way I described him. I've never seen the man, never seen pictures of him. But they were like, yeah, we think that's, I can't remember his name right now, but I've seen him several times.
Hmm.
I'm not, I don't know, a psychic or anything. You know, it's just, I don't know, I just see things that other people can't sometimes, I guess.
No, I mean, I totally get that. That's, you know, I've talked to enough people on the show where it's a thing. You know, it definitely happens.
Yeah. It really is. And, you know, it's like it seems so surreal that sometimes I don't know if I should believe my own ears and eyes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm going to trust myself enough to know that that is what I see or hear for sure.
So you moved out to this property to live there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay.
Yep.
And when did the strange stuff start for you?
Almost immediately. I guess the third night I was there, I heard like the knocking in the woods and like these weird whistle sounds. It almost sounds like a person whistling, but not quite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that night too, I also heard it sound like an owl, like a barn owl, I guess. But it was like the call would almost morph into a coyote call.
Hmm.
It wasn't just two calls. It was like one call blending into the other. It was the strangest thing. And it just sounds fake. It just doesn't sound real. And I don't know what it could be. I have no idea. But those strange calls started like immediately, pretty much.
And is that the kind of stuff that your husband's family was reporting there before?
Yes. Yeah, things like that. I think it was the great-grandma had seen like a coffin floating down the road or in the field. And it wasn't like 2 or 3 weeks later, someone in the family died. I think it was an aunt had died. And there's like, it sounds like someone, there's a gravel like kind of parking lot a little bit, because right in front of the house is a church. I guess it would be his great granddad built, and he was a preacher there, and the church is still there. It's like a log cabin church. So there's like a little gravel parking lot beside of it, and you'll hear cars pull into the driveway and hear cars are shut, and there won't be a soul out there. That's one of the things they told me about, and I experienced that too. It's just very strange. Like, where we live is a dead end, only family on this piece of property, and the closest neighbor I would say is probably a mile down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not like it's just echoing from somewhere else. It's just really, really strange.
Right. Well, anomalous car door slams are absolutely a thing, and I've actually even...
Is it?
Yeah. I've recorded that sound in the middle of the woods, like 3 miles into the woods. My investigation partner and I, Chad, heard a car door slam. But it's not just us. I mean, other paranormal people have reported it all over the place. Like,
wow, I didn't know that. That's wild.
Yeah, and I've heard vehicles approaching in that place, that ghost town that we went to, Pandemonium. And other people have reported this too. People have been there. They said, you'll hear cars coming, and then there's just never a car. Like, you'll hear them, like, going down the... It's like an old forest road, kind of crush and run gravel.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
And you'll hear them, and you'll never see them. And we experienced that as well. So that's all stuff, you know, that I've heard before. And you know, at least the car door slam and the approaching cars, I've heard myself.
Yeah, that's so wild. I didn't know that anyone else experienced anything like that. That's pretty good to know. I feel more compatible, a little bit better about it now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did things progress and get more intense, like, the longer you're there? Or does it just kind of stay at the same level?
It's kind of like ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it has to do with seasons or moon. I don't know, but yeah, it's like it ebbs and flows with the activity.
So tell me about these lights.
I've seen them twice, the way that I'm describing now. I was out there one night, I guess it was this past summer, and it was warm. I guess it's about 9:30 at night, and I was just out, you know, walking and listening to the sounds of the forest and everything, and I look up, and I thought that this light was so bright, I thought it was the moon coming through the trees. And it's like, well, no, because, like, you know, there would be no way, because it was, like, in front of the mountain, not above it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking, maybe it is a moon. So I walked all the way down the road to see if I could see like the moon at all, because there's a bunch of trees. You know, I had to actually walk out a little bit to actually be able to see the whole sky. And the moon was to the, I guess, east of where I was at. And so I walked by and I was like, it's not the moon. And it had moved from where it was before. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take pictures of this, because it was so bright. It looked like, you know, someone had headlights just shining through the trees. And I was like, this can't be, nobody's up there. You know, it's just a light that's kind of barely moving and pulsing. So I decided to take some pictures of it. And when I was looking at the pictures, it wasn't just one light. It looked like a ball of light with several little lights like coming off of it in a halo.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've actually got pictures of that. I've got pictures of like the progression of how this light was. It looked like kind of like, and it wasn't really shooting out. It was just kind of like morphing out of the bigger ball, I guess the smaller ones were. Mm-hmm. And it didn't make any sound. And the only reason why I knew it was moving, because it was moving so slowly, it was because it was like, it'd be here, then a little bit later, be further down the ridge. And I'm like, what? Just really wild. You know, like I said, I have pictures of it and everything. And it just, I've asked everybody if they have any idea what these lights could be, where they could come from, because I always want to see if there's like, you know, a natural explanation for something before I just jump to say, oh, well, it's supernatural. You know, sure. You want to be, you know, level headed about the things. Mm-hmm. I do anyway, you know. So I've not encountered anyone that has seen these lights. And the second time I saw them, I was down at Bernie's house, and it's probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was down there with her because her husband was out of town and she was sick. So I had gone outside to smoke, and I'm just kind of, you know, looking around. And above her house, there's a ridge that goes like straight up. And it was the same thing, the balls, where I could see them actually coming out of the bigger ball of light this time. And they just gradually moved back into the trees where I couldn't see them anymore. And I just, and nobody knows what they are. I don't know. This is the first time I've actually talked about it to anyone outside of like family, you know, mm-hmm. because I mean, how do you explain something like that? And where the heck's it coming from? You know, that's what I want to know.
Oh, I'd love to know, because yeah, you know, we've seen weird lights at, you know, a couple of the places we go to as well. Are there any color to them?
No, not these. They're just kind of like white lights. Like they look like moonlight almost as far as like color.
Mm-hmm. Do they look like, I'm not saying they were man-made, but do they have the quality mm-hmm. of like a man-made light, like a LED or anything like that?
It really doesn't. It really like doesn't look like any sort of like flashlight or bulb that we could make.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very muted light like the moonlight, but at the same time, I'm not sure how to describe it. It's not bright, but it spreads pretty far. I don't know how to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, everything else around it's dark, so these things are
yeah.
easily seen. Were you?
Yeah, yeah.
You said you were able to get a photo of it.
Yeah, I've got several photos of it. Yes, I do.
And do the photos look like what you saw?
No, what I saw looked like one light. It didn't look like a light with a bunch of smaller lights, you know, coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It just looked like one light. And, you know, I was just going through my pictures, you know, and there they are. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even see this happening, you know?
Wow. See, yeah, we've not been able to get good photos of them at all. Whenever we try, they just look like little dots of light in the mm-hmm. darkness. You know, we cannot get good pictures of them. So that's,
yeah,
that's neat.
I thought I had sent you some pictures of them. Maybe not, but if you want, I will email you the pictures that I have of them, so maybe you can do a comparison.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, I will do that after we get through with our conversation, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I live near North Carolina, where there's this, they're called the Brown Mountain Lights. Have you
yeah.
heard of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I live maybe an hour and a half away from there. So, and those are color lights. I've actually seen those for myself. And they're not there every time you go, but when they are there, like it looks like a city on this mountain that is a national forest. So you know there's not a city there, and mm-hmm. it couldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to see in person, that's for sure. But I don't wonder if that phenomenon isn't kind of like what you see in other places that sure. can't be explained, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
whatever that is.
Let me ask you a question. Is there anywhere in the immediate vicinity where you live that it may be like a mine or a quarry or anything like that?
No, not where I live, no.
Is there a cemetery associated with that church?
No, there isn't a cemetery there, but there's one, I don't know, about half a mile away from there. It's like an old family cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be, and this was just, I don't think she was part of the family, but they let her live there. It was a granny witch that lived there. And you can still see the foundation of her house. And supposedly she wasn't a very good person. And I don't know if that's got anything to do with what we see out there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing I've seen out there, it's like the movie Predator, mm-hmm. where it goes into camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of see the outline, kind of. I've seen something like that out there, even in the daytime when I've been walking to the pond. And it's always on a certain like side of this mountain that's back there. I've only seen it in that spot, but I've seen it several times. Hmm. And you can hear it, but you really can't see it unless you are, you know, you can, it's in the right amount of sunlight, I guess, coming down on it,
mm-hmm.
to kind of make it shimmer a little bit. I've seen that two or three times. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. Is it
but
big?
It's kind of like an amorphous shape. It's not really any shape, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, those always concern me just because we don't know what they are, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, it yeah. could be military, it could be supernatural. I don't know, but I'm not messing with it, you know?
Right, sure. Sure. So these crawler things,
mm-hmm.
tell me about them.
Okay. The first time that was seen, it was, I don't know, maybe about a year ago, and that was my husband and one of our mutual friends. They were outside. I'm not sure what they were doing, but it was after dark, and they had our dog Lucy out there with them, and they're walking kind of up behind the house with a few trees and things, and they saw it behind a tree. They said that they thought it was a little kid at first because the face, they said, looked like human, but it was kind of low to the ground. I guess maybe it was on all fours because that's when I saw it. It was on all fours. But anyway, and the next thing they know, like this thing kind of goes back behind the tree, and the dog Lucy comes out from behind the tree. Well, Lucy was with me on the other side of the property. So there's no way that could have been Lucy.
Oh, that's really weird.
Yeah, yeah. They both, grown men came running in the house. I mean, they were that freaked out.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Because from where they were at to where I was in the front yard, and they were, I mean, we had no, there's no way. It was a bit impossible from yeah. where they were at. Whenever I saw it, like I said, I was leaving the house. It's probably about 11:30 at night. And as you're coming out of the holler, it goes down a hill and around a curve kind of at the same time. And there's a creek that goes by it. And in between the creek and the tree line, there's kind of like a little meadow place. And this is where I saw them. It was one was kind of near the road. And at first I was like, you know, split second thing, is that a rock? No, there's not a rock there. And then I see it running. And then the other one was closer to the woods. And when it saw the other one running, it started running. And I thought that they were albino deer.
Yeah.
But, you know, seeing two albino deer at the same time is weird enough.
Sure, yeah.
But whenever they turned around and looked, it was like they had these weird necks that, I don't know, it was just very strange. And they took off running into the woods. And one was smaller than the other one. One was probably as big as a small doe, and the other one was maybe about the size of a St. Bernard.
Mm-hmm. Were they running on all fours?
They were on fours, yeah. They were on all fours.
Huh. Was their gait like an animal, or was it...
It was a very awkward gait.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like a gazelle or a deer. It was like, I don't know, it was just weird. It was very choppy, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah. Those things are weird.
Yeah, they're creepy. Let me see. There's been other things that I've seen that are just really weird, too. That now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, I should have made notes. Oh, yeah. I've heard something mimic my voice and other people's before, too. I don't know what this is at all, but I've never seen anything associated with the voice that I hear.
Mm-hmm.
But I was at the pond, and there's a bunch of like tall weeds there and flowers and stuff. And I was just standing there just at night. I'm a night owl, so I'm out at night a lot anyway. And I hear from those long reed things a voice say, "Hello," like just like that. It sounded like a kid's voice almost.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't any movement or anything associated with it. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just went back to the house because it was just, I just kind of got a weird vibe after that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, time to go inside. You know, there was another time I was in the house that nobody lives in, and I heard the same voice. It was the same as like, hello, just a little kid's voice. And I noped it right out of there too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been times where I've sounded like my husband and his friend Trevor. It sounds like their voice is coming from further down the road than the house. Like it's kind of echoing down from, like they're walking from somewhere. I've heard that. I've also heard it sound like my mom or my sister, and they live 14 miles away, so I know it's not them out in the woods at night. And what's weird is even when I'm at my mom's house up here, like I said, about 14 miles away from where I live, I've heard the mimic thing. And just this past weekend, my sister and I were here, and her mom was gone. She came back. We thought we heard mom saying something in the kitchen, and we go in there. She wasn't home yet. It was about 10 minutes later she got home. And earlier that day, I had heard something like my sister saying my name from far off inside the house. I thought maybe she's in her room needing me. And I got back there. I was like, hey, what you need? She said, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, I heard you call my name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was in the same day. And my mom and sister have both heard what sounds like other family members too. And it's like at a whisper. But if someone's outside whispering, you know, you can't hear them. So yeah, it's just very strange phenomenon too.
When you said you heard it sort of mimicking your voice, mm-hmm. did you recognize it as such?
It sounded like if someone took a recording of my voice and was trying to imitate that.
Huh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So not quite there, but...
Exactly. Just a little. If you didn't... If it wouldn't have been me, maybe someone else would have fallen for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And that's just like, oh, no. And I've always heard, don't talk back to anything that talks to you in the woods. So I'm not going to say anything back to it.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
The apparitions or spirits that you saw, where were mm-hmm. they?
There's been a couple of different places. I've seen it at Bernie's house. And I've also seen him down the road at our house. And when I saw him at Bernie's, he was just to the side of the driveway, facing towards the mountain ridge that goes behind their house, just looking up. And he was a taller man, maybe about 6'3", 6'4". He was wearing overalls and like a plaid flannel t-shirt. And that was really the most vivid of it. Like he was there, I said, like maybe dark hair and glasses. And that's what I saw. And as soon as it was like I noticed him, really noticed him, he was vanished up there. That was at Bernie's. And then down at our place, I've seen him on the trail. It's the old logging trail going towards the pond. I've seen him on that, and I've seen him in front of the church. And he looks the same every time I see him, wearing the overalls and the plaid flannel shirt.
Have you heard any of our flannel man stories?
No, I haven't.
Okay. There are entities that, and my wife has actually seen one. We started talking about it on the show, and a lot of people contacted us. Now, I'm not saying this obviously just could be a ghost that happens to be wearing that, but there are also entities that pop up in these weird situations, often wearing plaid flannel shirts.
That's weird.
Yeah, a lot of people have reported it. We call
that is really wild.
Yeah, we call them flannel man. Wish we had a better name for him, but it's really, and it's not always the same guy. People describe him differently. You know, sometimes he'll be tall, sometimes he'll be short, but it's the flannel shirt is the consistent. So that's very, very interesting to me. When you see him, does he look solid and like a real person?
For the most part, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a negative superimposed on what I see, if that makes sense. It's like it's, you can tell it isn't supposed to be there, like it's not natural looking, but at the same time, he looks like a person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's really interesting.
He isn't see-through at all, I guess is a better, more succinct way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really, really interesting. Yeah, you got quite a list of things going on there.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. Like, I have never lived anywhere that has this much activity.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Ever, ever. And I've lived in some places that, you know, there was a house ghost or whatever, something like that. But never like this. Like, it is the, I don't know. I have no idea why it's so active.
Mm-hmm.
No idea why.
Now, is it stressful just living with this?
At first it was. You know, but now that I know that there isn't going to be any harm from these entities, they need to live someplace too, I guess. You know, and right. I mean, I've never felt threatened, even by the creeper things. Mm-hmm. I've never felt threatened by
that's good
by that. You know, yeah. I don't know if it is a threat, but right, I think it keeps its distance. You know.
Yeah, yeah, that's good because you got to live there. That's what I always say.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
Yeah, you got to sleep at night. You got to live there.
Yeah,
can't put your life on hold.
Yeah, I don't know, like, it's never a dull moment, you know, whenever it's being really active those times, I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, my mother-in-law has a friend who has some old photographs of a supposed Bigfoot family that lived in the area where I live now.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know the legitimacy of the photo, but she showed it to me, and it was like 9 creatures standing, just having their photo made. And like I said, it's from a family friend that my mother-in-law knows.
Wow.
Has the pictures. And I would love to get a copy of them just to examine it myself, you know, and be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently it was a family of Bigfoot that lived around here.
Oh, wow.
So, and I guess the picture was like in the late 1800s, early 1900s is when it was taken.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's a real photo, I don't see why there still wouldn't be a family of them living there, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Did you tell me you were finding tree structures around as well?
Yes. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yes. All everywhere. All over the place. I've always been an outdoorsy person, but I've never had my own forest to explore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. But I was seeing these things that look like, it looked like someone had pieced them together because of just the intricacy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, well, these trees, even, you know, like rain flowing down, all this stuff, it's like there's no way that they could be put in the order that they're in.
Right.
I see a lot of X's, and I see a lot of them bent over. Some of them almost all the way to the ground. It looks kind of like a half circle.
Yep.
Going back into the ground. And I've got lots of pictures of those too. Some of them look like a house almost,
mm-hmm.
the way they're built.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. And I can see where like little branches that are pretty, you know, probably about as big around as, you know, my wrist, bent and broken, but not all the way broke. They're just like bent down and snapped a little bit. And I've got one picture of that, and it looks like another limb going across to where it makes an A,
mm-hmm.
which I thought that was odd, but I see them all over the place.
Super fascinated by them.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting to me is, and I don't know if you've ever like actually gone up and messed with them, but they're woven together in such a way that they couldn't have fallen that way, at least in my opinion. Like,
no, you're right.
Yeah. And they're somewhat well-constructed in that, I mean, you could pull them apart, but you'd have to work at it.
Yeah.
They're put together well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah, because it looks, like I said, there's no way that it was like erosion or lots of rainfall making them fall. Because some of them aren't at anywhere where it could have like even rolled down or gotten that way. Some of them are at the top of this mountain where, you know, it would have been impossible for that to have happened naturally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Falling like that, you know, even if a bunch of limbs fell out of a tree, they're not going to weave themselves together,
right? Exactly.
And you know, become like a little house for something. There's no way.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me. And I don't think they're using them for I don't know what they're using them for. I don't think they're using them for shelter.
Not necessarily, no.
I don't think they're using them for hunting blinds. I don't know what they're using them for, but they're when I say they, you know, people assume Bigfoot may. I don't know that anyone's ever seen a Bigfoot actually making one of these. But they do appear in places where Bigfoot are. So,
oh, do they? See, I was kind of thinking there was a correlation, but I wasn't sure. So,
yeah. But they're so interesting to me. I'm like, you know, what are they for? And why? I mean, I guess they could use them to kind of break up their silhouette, like if they were hunting, if you want to think about it that way. But they're not hiding behind them. You know, they're not solid enough to hide behind them. But yeah, no, I find them so fascinating. I'm super interested in them. I'd like to kind of track where they are and see if, you know, sometimes you can, one will lead to another and lead to another and lead to another like that.
Yeah, it's like a path almost, like follow this path or something. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are just like, you know, the half circle, it'll just be like one sapling sometimes. And it looks like it's almost going to grow back into the ground the way it's bent. And, you know, from what I remember in, you know, science class, like plants, especially in the forest, want to be where the sun is.
Right.
They want to like climb and reach and grow so they can get the sunlight. Mm-hmm. They're not going to grow back into the ground. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. If science is the way you love it's taught, you know?
Right.
But yeah, there are lots of those there. A lot of the little, like, and it won't just be one sometimes. It'll be like almost like croquet hoops, you know, one behind the other and going that way. And I don't know. I think, I mean, my personal opinion of Bigfoot, and this is just a recent assumption of mine, I think that they may be transdimensional. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if maybe what they make is something to maybe show the portal or, you know, something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fun to speculate, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think they're, if I mean, to say they're not natural animals, I don't know. But they don't, they're not like other animals. Let's put it that way. They're not like other animals on the planet.
No, they aren't.
At least that's my opinion. There's something weird about them. Yeah, I mean, they interdimensional could be. Yeah, there's something. They definitely appear and disappear or seem to. You know, lots of people have said that. So where are they going if they are?
Yeah, and why hasn't anyone ever been able to get, like, you know, any sort of tangible evidence?
Right, right.
Other than, like, a footprint, you know? There's got to be a quick getaway for them, you know? That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe a portal would be that.
I mean, you get great footprints, but I always point out that, you know, they used to hunt ghosts in the 1950s. They'd put, you know, powder, baby powder on the floor and get footprints, you know? So
right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, just because you're getting footprints doesn't mean we're dealing with something that's wholly natural or like other animals.
Exactly.
But yeah,
all
the
that.
Evidence is controversial. It comes back, you know, one person will say, yeah, it shows something anomalous, and then they get it tested again. They're like, no, it's a bear, or no, it's a human. You know, it's weird. There's something very, very strange about these things.
It is. And I, you know, stuff like that, though, you're talking about like them testing the DNA or hair samples or whatever. Like, I don't wonder maybe if it's because it is a Bigfoot that, you know, they get it tested again. Oh, no, it's not a Bigfoot, just to kind of like squash the conspiracy theory. Like, oh, no, see, they said that was a dog, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, because I mean, still it's conspiratorial to a lot of people, but I've become a believer for sure since I've lived on this property. Mm. You know, before it was kind of like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. But no, I really think so now, because I hear whistles, you know, and hoots and the tree banging. I hear a lot of that. I just, it's like the little footprints, and you can hear things but don't see it going through the woods, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced now that it's something. I don't know what, but it's something, and I think it is what we call a Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. What were the circumstances of finding the footprint?
I go out there and I hike a lot, and I forage for mushrooms and other like herbs, you know, and things you can get from the mountains. And I was just out there, you know, scouting around for mushrooms and things that day. Whenever I found like the best one I've ever found, and it was it had been raining and it was going uphill, and it was almost perfect. And it was, I wear a size 7.5 women's shoe. It was probably 1.5 size my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a picture of that too.
Oh yeah. Please send that. Yeah.
Okay. I will.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. When I find weird stuff, I take pictures. And you know, another thing, speaking of pictures, like when I have taken pictures of the woods, because sometimes I'll just get like an eerie feeling or a weird feeling or just something's off, you know, pick up on the vibration that everything isn't how it was a minute ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take pictures sometimes just to see if I can see anything in the pictures now that I know that there may be Bigfoot living there. Well, there are certain times where I take a picture and the picture's blurry, even though I haven't moved, the wind isn't blowing, things like that. But the picture before it, you know, is clear, or the picture after it is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll go into there with, you know, a 70% battery and I'm out there for an hour and it's totally dead.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That happens a lot. Yeah. I carry so many extra batteries for my recorders with me when I'm out in the field, because I'll put new batteries in and depending on the situation, we'll, you know, I'll look down, suddenly it's been, you know, 30 minutes or an hour and just zap, you know, two double A's just gone. And brand new ones in. It'll happen again.
It's so weird, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe because I don't know why I would do that. I guess things need energy.
Yeah, it happens. So again, I can't tell you why, but I can say it definitely happens around this stuff. Certainly.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously there's an association, but I want to know the answers to all these questions, and I'll probably never have the answers, but I'm not going to give up on seeking the answers. You know.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, at some point, I kind of had to sit myself down and tell myself, like, you're probably not going to get the answers in your lifetime. And I got a little bit depressed about that. And then I thought about it. I was like, yeah, but it's still a very interesting thing, right? And, you know, maybe we can document some stuff that somewhere down the line somebody can do something with. I don't know. Whatever it is, I think this is all part of our experience here on the planet. And I find it incredibly interesting. And so I'll look for answers. If I don't get them, I don't get them. It's, you know, I think maybe the quest for the answers might be part of the point. I'm not sure.
I think you're right about that. I do. Because, I mean, that's what, for me, life is about, is learning and discovering and just always being wondrous about the world around us. Because I think a lot of times we get jaded to our environment. And, I mean, it's just, you shouldn't be, because there's so many interesting things out there, even if they're not supernatural. It's just to just enjoy and discover, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's part of what all this stuff is about. It's about tapping you on your shoulder and letting you know there's something more, you know, there's more.
Absolutely.
More out there. So yeah, I think that's definitely a way to approach it. I think that's, you know, a healthy way to approach it. So
yes, it is.
You said you had stuff kind of throughout your life. Do you remember like the first thing that ever happened that you thought, like, you know, this is weird or this is paranormal or anything like that?
Yeah. The first time I remember having a paranormal thing happened to me. I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, and my sister was maybe 6 or 8 months old, and I had a bunk bed, and she was in her crib that was kind of like, it was like an L, like one side was her crib, the other side of the L was my bed. And my bed, the head of it faced the doorway, and I got woke up by, it sounded like a hissing almost. It woke me up, and I looked, and in the doorway, it was like smoke, but smoke was popping out like in 3D, kind of like making these faces. And the faces were just, at the time I thought they were monsters. You know, I was a little kid.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
And they were saying stuff to me like, we're going to take your little sister and chew on her bones we're going to make you watch. And I said, I was 4 or 5, like, what 4 or 5 year old has a mind like that on their own, you know?
Yeah.
And that was my first experience with something not of this world. And it made an impact. It really did. Like, it,
I guess so. Yeah.
It wasn't a dream, because I remember getting up and sitting in front of my sister's crib with my back up to it and rocking back and forth, yelling for mom and dad, and they didn't hear me, okay? Mm. That's another thing that was weird. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't hear me yelling for them.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And, because I didn't want to leave my sister, you know? I didn't want to have to run through the doorway either, honestly.
Right.
And it was just, and it happened quite a few times.
Really?
Yeah, and coming to find out, that place had some, like, demonic entities in it, because there was a woman that we went to church with, and her name was Rose, and she was psychic, and she came there, and she had told my mom that there were like 3 demonic entities that were in the land. They weren't even in the house, they were in the land. And I didn't know this till I was like a grown person, that mom had someone come out there and, you know, kind of see what was going on, because I guess there may have been other stuff going on that I didn't notice as a child. You know, and we moved like not too long after that. But yeah, that was my first like encounter with the supernatural. So kind of got onto a crazy foot there, I think.
Did you end up telling your parents about it?
Yeah, I did. I did. And they thought it was bad dreams.
Okay.
And of course, you know, like, is this what you're going to think?
Right.
Most of the time, you know? There was another time, and my sister can vouch for this. We had our separate bedrooms, but because of like all the crazy stuff that happened, we would choose to sleep in the same bed together. You know, just, we felt safer that way, you know? And we were little. I was like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8. And she is 3.5 years younger than me. So I got woke up by our comforter being pulled off. And I thought it was my sister being a cover hog. You know, we were like, I'll give him back. Well, I look over, and there's this little, okay, now it's a duende, is what I, the closest thing I can describe to what this thing was, okay? Which I just found out about duendes a few months ago. Is that what they're called?
Little goblin things,
Yeah, right. Goblin things, yeah. So that's kind of what it looked like. I had this little hat with a bell, a little vest, a little pair of pants, and these little like shoes that were tied with like some kind of string or rope or something. Well, this thing didn't know I was looking at it yet. Okay, it pulls itself up on the bed, sits on my sister's chest, puts its hands on its hip, and leans its face into my sister's face. And I gasped or something. I really don't remember what I did, but I made a sound, and it looked at me, made a squeaky sound, jumped off my sister on the bed, ran the little distance between she and I, jumped off the bed, ran towards the wall, and it was like a black line came up, opened up just enough for him to go in, and then it poof, went out of existence, like it was old TVs turning off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I mean, to this day, I know what his little toenail sounded like. Just,
Wow.
Yeah. You can hear his little feet flopping, going down into the portal.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, my sister, like, she about we ran into her pantry after that. They thought we were having a bad dream.
Okay.
But, you know, we've talked about it. But
a
no,
shared like, bad dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really weird. And my sister didn't see the part where I went into the portal because, like, from her perspective, she wouldn't have been able to see it for the dresser.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, like, a long dresser right beside where it zipped up. And, yeah, that was really weird, too.
But she did see it sitting on her.
Yeah, she did. Because when she woke up, she looked and, like, she turned white. It was, like, white. Wow. She looked at me and, like, it ran off. I mean, this happened in, like, a very short period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Too. It wasn't, you know, like a five-minute thing. It was, like, a very short period of time. But it was enough to remember detail and know that I wasn't asleep because we ran straight. We both saw it, you know?
About how tall was this thing?
Probably about 2.5 feet tall, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Because I have a little child's perspective on this, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it was on my sister's chest, maybe 2.5 feet tall. It wasn't very big.
Right, yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Huh. That's...
I don't know if it's my energy, my vibration or anything, but I feel like things like that are attracted.
It's not uncommon. Like, when I started the podcast, you know, I would get people that would tell me, like, oh, I've had this stuff all my life, and mm-hmm. at that time, and this was only, you know, like 5-6 years ago, something like that, it was almost considered like, oh, that doesn't happen, you know, that maybe we can't believe those people. But the longer I do the podcast, the more I've come to talk to people, and I think it's more common than not, honestly, for people to have more than one thing happen. And I've talked to so many people like you who've just had this all their life, and it's going to be with them probably forever. I think you have a very healthy attitude towards it, so that's good. I liken it, you know, I make sure to say it's like, I don't think anybody has superpowers, but I think, like, I can draw really well, right? And other people can't draw as well. They can practice and they can get better. So I think it might be like that. I think, you know, like, I can draw well, you can see these things well. You know what I mean? I think it's something like that.
That's what I think, too. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think we all maybe have the ability to see through the veil, if you want, you know, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. And some people, I think we all can, but some people, like me, I'm open-minded to anything. I
think that
I
helps.
Can't say that it's, you know, definitively this or that.
Right,
I don't know.
Right. You know, no, I think that helps. I think, and I just think it just comes more naturally to some people. That's the way it is, you know?
Yeah,
just,
I think so, too.
Yeah, it's just going to be that way. You know, I've had some people tell me, like, oh, nothing ever happens to me. And then you sit down and talk to them, like, oh, I don't believe in that. No. And then, but mm-hmm. then they're like, well, there was this one time when, you know, they'll describe a UFO or something. Like, well, you can't say it doesn't happen to you then, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
yeah, you did have something. I think by far most people have something. I've talked to enough people who've had just repeat things, like, and they're like, well, yeah, it seems like everywhere I live was haunted. And I'm like, well,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's you, you know, not in a bad way.
Haunted.
I'm not trying to, you know, upset me, but, you know, maybe you're the common denominator there.
I think that's more along the lines of that. I think places can be haunted, but I mean, if I look at it, here's how I look at it. Like, it's residual energy. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, I think, you know, because like when we have high emotions, I think like our energy makes an imprint
absolutely.
On something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for however long, there may be an imprint there of something that happened in a house or, you know, some piece of land or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm thinking as you're talking about this stuff is, just out of curiosity, what's your, like, genetic heritage, like Irish, English, what, you know, do you know?
Well, I think it's like English and Scottish, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my mom's side, there's a lot of like Middle Eastern, like from Yemen and Egypt.
Oh, that's and interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so it's a weird combination of genetics.
Yeah, no,
for
that's
sure.
super interesting. Okay, yeah. Wow. Yeah, because it almost sounds like some of the thing, like talking about wanting to kidnap your sister and then seeing this little guy. It almost sounds like fae stuff, they would call it, you know? But, I mean, obviously there's the equivalent in almost every culture. Certainly the Middle Eastern cultures have, you know, the jinn and stuff.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's kind of like what I think, too, because it was just, they were always wanting to get my sister, you know?
Yeah.
Like the little, the really, like, dark entities that would come to that, like, the place where we were, she was a baby and I was small. And then, you know, this is a different house where the little, like, duende thing happened. It was the house we moved to, actually, after living in the one where evil entities lived. So, it just, I don't know if something followed us or if it was, like you said, just,
I think maybe that's it.
You know, it's followed us.
Yeah, maybe. Wow. So as you're growing up, you have more encounters?
Well, for several years, I don't know if it was because I was going through some stuff where I didn't see past into my nose. You know, I was just very wrapped up in myself. So I didn't really pay much attention to things. But for, except for that, those like couple of years, pretty much all everywhere. Like I see things
again. That's, a lot. That's so interesting you said that, because I talk about like having some kind of weird things in my childhood, and then there's this whole gap where I was just being a teenager, right? I was just like I was into girls and punk rock and, you know, this and that. Now, did that mean nothing happened, or did I wasn't paying attention to it? I don't know. Like, I don't know. But for whatever reason, there's this gap where I have like, nothing happened in those years. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's very interesting, because it's like, and it was like late teenage years, whenever it just kind of like, you know, kind of went away. And then I guess mid-20s, it started coming back, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it may be just not paying attention, because otherwise, what else could it be, you know?
Yeah. No, it's very interesting. And I've talked to other people who have a similar gap there. It's like, I just wasn't.
Oh, yeah?
I wasn't interested in things at that time. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be out, you know, figuring things out as teenagers and stuff.
Yeah. You don't need any of those supernatural distractions from it, for sure.
Yeah.
That is why. See, I don't really get to talk to a lot of people that experience things that I've experienced or see the things that I've seen, because most of the people that I associate with think I'm crazy anyway. So, you know, I don't really can't have like a real conversation with someone about these things. And it's very refreshing to be able to. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, I love it. There's a fellow podcaster who does a similar podcast. I was talking to him a couple months ago. He said to me, "Do you hate it yet?" And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Do you hate it yet?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Oh, you're gonna hate it." I was like, "No, I don't think so, man." I said, "There's something about this that I love talking to people. I love hearing their stories." So far, you know, it's still incredibly interesting to me.
Yeah, there's so many facets of it too. You know, like I don't know how you could get bored with these things, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've personally, I'm the same way you are. I want to discover as much as I can. Try to figure it out if I can't.
Firmly believe it's part of the human experience. I absolutely do.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way, but I think, I mean, I really like that idea. Mm-hmm. I do.
So I have two questions for you. Number one, if I send a weatherproof recorder to you, would you be willing to put it in the woods? You don't have nothing special. You don't have to, you just flip a switch and put it in there. It's weatherproof. Nothing's going to hurt it. Would you be willing to drop it in the woods and see what we can get?
Heck yes. That would be awesome.
Okay, cool. I would do that. And next question is a bit more, and if this is too much, you know, we do like to travel and we'd like to visit these places. Would you be open to us stopping by your property at some point?
You know, I would, but let me talk it over with my husband.
Absolutely.
I'm sure he won't mind.
Absolutely.
You know, just to,
sure.
You know, let him know what's going on and everything. And I'm sure he won't mind, but I'm totally for it. So,
okay. Yeah.
For sure.
It's the properties that I have the greatest interest in. You know, like the Witch Diggers property and like these other things.
Yeah.
I just feel like they have most potential for things happening. And it's so interesting to me when people like yourself have these sort of repeat encounters happening. I'm completely fascinated by it. So I'm making it my goal to travel and get to these places if I can. But
that's
obviously,
awesome.
You know, you don't have to put us up or anything like that. It's just like
just
allowing us to be on your property. That's it.
Okay.
And, you know,
all right.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure it'll be fine, but, you know, of course, got to double check with the
Absolutely.
Hubby.
I completely understand. Completely understand. Wow. So I think you have the right frame of mind for it. You're not letting it scare you. You're okay with everything. I think, you know, if things get weird, there are things you can do. Do you have lights on your property?
Yes.
Yeah, like that's the main thing. I think you can light things up at night, and that helps. You know, if people are having them like come too close to the house, getting a little weird with it. I usually just say, you know, light up your property as much as you can. And even if you put out cameras and stuff, that'll usually put a stop to it. I don't know why, but these things do not like to be filmed.
No, they really don't, do they? Like, yeah. you gotta be fast.
yeah.
And so, sometimes, most of the time, you're not, or I'm not anyway.
So that'll, but it doesn't sound like you're really having problems. It sounds like you're just like these things are happening. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've never had any negative experience yet. I would say the closest thing I've had to a negative experience is in between where we live and Bernie's house is maybe an eighth of a mile, quarter of a mile. And I was walking down to her house, and it was the weirdest. I've never experienced anything like this in my life, but it was like someone had stuck a freaking power line to my belly, and I was just vibrating and violently nauseous, right? Mm. I was dry heaving and everything, and like that sent me to my knees. I couldn't think. It wasn't painful. It was just like intense, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, okay, if I can just make it to Bernie's driveway, I will be okay. So I barely made it in her driveway, and I just collapsed to my knees and just was dry heaving. I wasn't throwing up. I was just dry heaving for several minutes, probably like 2 or 3 minutes. And then it just kind of like dissipated away to where I felt normal again. And like, it was, I don't know what that was. No idea. Yeah. I never had that happen before. And I had it happen after. This has just been a couple months ago. And I don't know. I have no idea why it caused it. I don't know if I went through a force field. I have no idea. But it was just very, very weird sensation. Like mm-hmm. I said, not painful, just very intense and weird.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, you know?
Yeah.
But that was probably the most negative thing that's happened, and that wasn't really even that negative, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever seen, either on that property or elsewhere in your life, have you ever seen a UFO?
A bunch.
Oh, yeah?
I've seen a lot. I saw one night. I thought it was, what's Elon Musk's satellite thing he has, Starlink?
Yeah.
Is that what? Mm-hmm. I thought it was a Starlink thing going across the sky, but it was going slow, and then it was like all of a sudden, all of the lights went into one light and shot off like super fast. That's probably the most recent one I've seen. That was, I don't know, a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Out here on Mom's house one night, listening to music, just looking at the stars, because she kind of lives out. She doesn't, where you can still see the sky a little bit. And it was like this light. It was like a turn signal color light, you know, the orangey yellow light. Mm-hmm. It's about what color the light was on the end of this thing. And it was blinking to the beat of the music I was listening to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. I was like, if you can hear this music, blink to the beat again. Change the song. Blink, 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 blink. Okay, I changed the song again. It didn't blink to that one, but I changed it to another song, and then it blinked in time with that. It was like 3 songs it blinked to.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just like out here in the yard at my mom's house.
Yeah, no, they're reactive. Like that. I mean, I've never had that, but I've talked to people who've said, like, you know, they basically said, hey, change colors, you know, and it'll change colors mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Yeah, that is wild.
You know, I think it's CE5 is what that Dr. Stephen Greer talks about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you can pretty much just meditate and give these guys your coordinates mm-hmm. and where it's all telepathy and, you know, through your mind. Like, they can hear it, you know, beings can hear it from wherever they're at, wherever it may be, and they can come here. I mean, that kind of makes sense to me, you know, because there's no limits on your mind at all, I don't think.
Yeah.
So if you really can focus and get someone's attention, I don't see why you can't, like, you know, interact with them.
You know, it makes no sense if you think that they're just little scientists from another planet. But if you say, well, no, wait, these are something else, you know,
mm-hmm.
much like the things that are around your house. You know, we don't know what they are, but they're there. And, you know, they're mm-hmm. like I said, part of the human experience. Then, yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't it be interactive? You know, why wouldn't it want to communicate in whatever way it could, you know?
Yeah, I think that's maybe what they're here for, like, you know, not really sightseeing, but just like being curious about things
mm-hmm.
and having the ability to go to, you know, other worlds and things. That would be awesome.
Could be. Yeah. The other standard question I asked everybody mm-hmm. is about sleep paralysis. Have you ever had that?
I had it once. Mm-hmm. I think I was maybe 14 or 15, and I woke up flat on my back, and my bed, I had a day bed, so it was kind of in the corner. So there was a wall where my head was, a wall down the back of the bed, and then there was a wall at the foot of my bed. It was kind of like a little alcove thing. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't much room in between the bed and the wall, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I wake up, can't move. And from what would have been the head of my bed, it was like this big, long claws coming up over the top of my head. Like if it came like from the crown of my head over the top across my forehead in front of my eyes, that's kind of how it went. And I never saw the hand. I just kept on seeing fingernails. And it was so weird. They were yellowed and cracked, really, really, really long and just dirty and just nasty looking fingernails. And somehow I was able to get up and, mind you, I'm a teenager, hightail it into my parents' bedroom. I got so scared. But as I was getting up, it was almost like something kind of pulled at the bottom of my T-shirt I was wearing. Mm. But that's the only time I've ever had sleep paralysis. Wow. But I have seen the Shadow Man.
Oh, yeah.
The Hat Man. Yeah, the Hat Man. 13 years old, woke up from a nap on the couch. He's sitting at the end of the couch looking at me. And he just disappeared. It wasn't like anything big. It was just sitting there. It was like the flat brimmed, like wide brimmed hat, you know, and he was like wearing an overcoat probably because it was kind of the silhouette of what he had.
I've had people describe these shadow entities a couple of different ways. And one way they said it, you know, just kind of looked like a shadow. And, and the other way they said it had this sort of blacker than black look to it.
Yeah, that one was blacker than black. It wasn't a shadow.
Interesting. Yeah.
It was solid. We're looking solid anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, the fun question then before you go.
Okay.
It's based on a real account from UFO history.
Mm-hmm.
On the morning of April 18th, 1961, Joe Simonton saw a silver disc on his farm. He went out, investigated, and stepped aboard the craft. He encountered three dark-skinned humanoids who handed him an empty jug. He filled it with water and brought it back for them. In return, they gave him some pancakes. The question is, would you eat the pancakes?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that just being kind, being nice, being, you know?
Well, probably curiosity and trying to be polite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. I think it kind of fits with the rest of your story. Just be sort of being polite to these things and recognizing that they're part of the landscape there.
Absolutely.
So. All right. All right, Allie, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
No problem. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Right, Allison, you're slacking again. We had all that time with no Curiosity of the Week. You came back, you offered us a Curiosity of the Week last week, and here we got nothing again. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to fire you.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of people to take over for me if you'd like.
I don't think I could get anybody else to work at your salary.
That is a recurring theme in my life. Not just here, but like just generally.
Well, here's the thing. We are sort of sourcing items. We're sourcing stuff for the Whatnot shows we were talking about. We're sourcing things for Curiosities of the Week. We're getting our stuff together. Indiana put a big hole in our schedule. We'll get back on track with everything. And we always have the Etsy shop, which I'll talk about in a second. Before I do that, Chad's first Walk with a Woodsman is coming up. This Saturday, April 13th. That's this Saturday, right?
Yeah, yeah. I saw him advertise it today.
And I believe, this will be on Wild Teas. So that's fun. You get to make teas from various wild items in the woods.
Does he bring like fine china with him?
I don't know. You know, the problem with Chad's Walk with a Woodsman thing, and he invites me to everyone, and I feel like kind of a bad friend for not going, but...
Do they start early, Tim?
They start at 9 a.m., which is early for Tim.
Yeah.
It's early for Tim to be over at Sunnewald's. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
As my boss has said to me, no single-digit a.m. numbers.
Yes, I've borrowed that from him, and I use it quite often. I think it's a brilliant phrase, and I've adopted it for my own. I'm up late working on creative stuff. It's not that I'm just like, you know, I'm to bed at 9 o'clock and I'm sleep until noon. I'm up till 3-4 in the morning, you know, so getting up early is rough for me. My natural schedule is to be a night guy. I believe that's called a night owl.
Mm-hmm. What are the day people?
You're a day squirrel.
Is it a squirrel?
That's what it is now. You're a day squirrel.
I'm a day squirrel?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's sort of like a lady hawk kind of thing. Like just as I'm going to bed, you're like, oh, I have the next 7 hours to work.
So it's a night owl and a day hawk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Keeping it in the avian family, I do that.
Yeah.
In any case, Chad's Walk with a Woodsman wilderness skills and foraging, his first one of this season, is this coming Saturday, April 13th. It is at Sunnewald Natural Foods, which is over in Spring Grove, Pennsylvania. You can call them 717-225-3825 for more information. You never know. I might show up.
I guess the next question is...
The doubtful smile on Allison's face when
I said that. If I'm walking and having tea, there's going to have to be peeing with a woodsman too, I think. How far out on the trail we are when we have the tea is going to necessitate...
Yeah, I don't know if Sunnewald's provides or if you got to do it the woodsman way, as they say, but, you know.
It provides vital nitrogen content, I guess, to the earth.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt anything. Just make sure, you know, you got to warn the earth spirits before you do it and then apologize afterwards. That is the folklore.
For urinating outside?
In the woods, yeah. That's the folklore that goes with it.
Do you think every deer does that? Every squirrel?
I don't know. I think the other allows for them to, you know.
But they specifically don't like our urine.
Look, this is just the folklore. I'm telling you the folklore. If you're asking me, do I do this? Yeah, I absolutely do this.
Yeah, I know. If you're saying it, you're already sorry for peeing.
Absolutely. I warn them first and apologize.
Was that in case they look? I'm going to warn you ahead of time. What you're about to see
is a horror show.
Is a horror show.
Yes, and that is why the other is more afraid of me than I am of it. We have an Etsy shop. Our shop name is Lost Grave. If you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. Over there at Etsy, we have books. All of my books are there. Those that are available, Apparitions is sold out. I do have a few more copies that I'm going to do remarks in, and we'll put them up there. And I think Riverbend has some copies as well. So there are a few copies of Apparitions around, but as far as in our Etsy shop, Apparitions is sold out. But all of my other books are there and available, and they come signed when you get them on Etsy. We have Strange Familiars t-shirts, patches. We still have some mugs left, stickers. Allison has some old photographs up there. Artwork, originals and prints, and more. Again, the shop name is Lost Grave. There are links in the show notes to our Etsy shop in every episode as well. So you can find it that way. If you're looking for Strange Familiars merch, the best place to go, the only place to go, is strangefamiliars.com/merch, and you'll see pictures of our different merch items there. You click on them, it'll take you right to the Etsy shop, so you can purchase them there. No other place should have Strange Familiars merch. If you're not getting it from that link, it's not us, and the money's not going to go to us, and it's not going to help us a bit. That's it for this week. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars. We're on Instagram, @strangefamiliars, one word, no underscore. Please give us a follow there. You can find us anytime at strangefamiliars.com. Bad. banjo.